we learn different history lessons at different parts of our lives. And it's probably not new things that come to our attention, but things that have maybe been happening in our lives our entire life, but a new context allows us to see things differently. And I don't think that I ever really got the phrase, you could win the battle, but lose the war, so to speak, until I was married. Marriage is not necessarily a battle or a war, but if you have conflict, that trying to win at all costs actually ends up losing in the long run, because there's so much, again, with marriage that is about being a team and not being adversaries.
Welcome to Star of the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Joining us today, Chris Murphy from ShovelCloud.com.
I am he. What's happening, everybody?
Indeed, you are he. So, Chris, today we've been having some fun.
Yeah.
We're hanging out at a conference, enjoying some conversations, some good peeps. And we went to an establishment for lunch. Let's just start there.
Oh, we fell into the vortex.
We did. Yeah, some people have like fallen into the burning ring of fire. Is that the same thing as a vortex?
Well, you know, it depends on what you order off the menu. It could very quickly become the burning ring of
fire. All right, so how'd you learn about the vortex?
You know, I think that I learned about the vortex, which is a over-the-top burger place in Atlanta, Georgia. I think I learned about it from Man vs. Food.
Okay.
From, I don't know, 2008, 2009, something like that. But it's this crazy place that you...
Wait a minute. This was 7 years ago.
It's that delicious. You got to keep coming back.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I think he went in to have some sort of like quadruple bypass burger challenge or something like that. But the place has kind of got a voodoo vibe. You go in there and there's like skeletons riding motorcycles and all sorts of craziness in the menu.
There was a large wooden dildo, which... I don't think you were going to say that, but there was one.
There absolutely was. You know what? I've been to the Vortex a couple of times. There's a few locations in the Atlanta area. I had not noticed that until we walked in today.
It was hard to miss.
You're exactly right. Yeah. If you've got to wait for your table at all, there's no way you can miss that thing. Oh, you took me off guard.
Yeah. So we proceeded to go to our table and we sit down and I asked you, I'm like, hey, Chris, what's good here? And you're like, well, they have really good tots.
And I was They're like, delicious.
What does that mean?
After having seen what you saw in the lobby.
Yeah, yeah. Area. We're talking about, you know, phallic symbols in the lobby. And then you're saying they have really hot tots. I'm like, Chris, I don't want to be here. Like, I'm a Christian. Yeah.
You know? I had to apologize several times during the meal for bringing him to such an establishment.
A vile. No, it was a good burger spot.
No, it was good.
But what are tots?
Oh. Potato tots.
Tater tots.
Tater tots, yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Why did I say potato tots? You don't know what a potato tot is?
I don't know of anyone that calls it potato tot, but...
I think that we should
for this
start
episode,
here.
We can...
Yeah.
Hashtag potato tot, if you're listening.
Star of the Doubts, hashtag yeah. Potato tots.
Yeah, at Chris Murphy Hub and at Jared Easley.
No, but it was good. I had a blue shroom burger, which was about an ice cream scoop worth of blue cheese... topped with bacon, topped with mushrooms.
Lord.
And then I had tots that had, I don't know, cheese and gravy and bacon. It was, I've ruined myself for the rest of the day just from my lunch meal.
And let the record reflect, I offered you one of these little milk chocolate bars that you would find at a conference sponsor table type
sure,
thing.
Yeah.
And you declined. And it was because of the vortex.
I fell into the vortex. There, I mean, my burger was, I don't know, 11 or 12 bucks for the tots and the drink and everything. It wasn't that bad. But you can get, again, from the man versus food challenges kind of thing that they do there, you can top multiple patties with multiple double slices of bacon, with multiple layers of cheese, with fried eggs on top. There's a burger there, I think it's called the quadruple bypass burger, that is $79.
Yes.
And I think that if you eat it all, you get it for free. It's that big, that daunting. But there's no way. I mean, I had something that was a minuscule burger compared to that thing, and I'm not going to be able to move for a day.
I'm concerned about you. Some of the items on the menu had really interesting titles.
They absolutely did. Yeah.
Are you feeling comfortable saying some of the names of these items?
Well, after the phallic symbol in the lobby and the potato tots, it's cleared my memory of anything that was on the menu. I've lost all control because I think that I've got a burger coma hangover thing going on.
Well, I'll say this: some of the names of the burgers were borderline inappropriate. So
I think that they were borderline inappropriate and inappropriate. appropriate. There were some of those as well.
Yes, there was. And so, yeah, go to the Vortex website, which I don't know what that is, but go check that out via Google and look up their menu, because if nothing else, you'll probably have a good laugh at some of the names of their burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the end of the description of the blue shroom burger was that once you eat it, you will see God.
You will see God. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those places that are fun to eat at a time or two, but I don't think it's the family friendliest place to take.
I wouldn't feel comfortable taking my daughter. In fact, I don't even think they would let her in, because when you and I walked in, they asked for our ID.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
We had not ordered anything. We had not.
We just walked in the door.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is a bar and grill, so maybe that bar part will keep people under 18 or 21 out of there.
I thought that was interesting, though. It was like the lady's like, I need to see your ID. I was like, bless you. You know? But then as we walked in, I kind of realized, oh,
yeah,
I know why.
Oh, do I look I'm under 21?
This place isn't church. That's for sure. Okay. Well, good deal. Today, we're going to talk about a few questions, these burning questions. Since, you know, you've fallen into the vortex, let's just keep that going in that direction. So a downward spiral, if you will. The first question, Chris, we'll start with you, is what is the most foolish thing you did as a kid?
Oof. I did a lot of foolish things, which most people that I know growing up did, especially boys. Like, again, I didn't have a lot of friends that were girls growing up. I hung out with a lot of dudes. But we all got ourselves into some crazy trouble. I'm surprised that half of us survived our adolescence. But I remember one time, this was not a peer pressure thing. I was all by myself. Out the backyard of our home was this big ditch, this gully kind of thing. During the summertime in Alabama, the entire gully would fill up with kudzu. And it looked like you could walk across it because there was so much kudzu. But during the wintertime, when all the vines would die back or die off and you could see, there was this really cool creek that ran through the bottom of this gully, and it was probably about, I don't know, 70 feet to 100 feet across and probably about 30 feet deep. So, I mean, it was a nice big old hole behind our house. During a thunderstorm growing up, a pine tree fell in the woods across from this gully and fell into our yard. So it created this bridge, this pine tree bridge that crossed. And one day I thought it would be really cool. I was probably caught up by watching Sylvester Stallone and Cliffhanger or something like that.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. And so I decided to go and throw a rope around this pine tree that was laying horizontally to make a bridge, and that I was going to rappel down into the gully. And so I tied the rope to the pine tree. I kind of shimmied my way to the middle of this thing. I grabbed onto the rope and I just rolled off. expecting everything to just be cool and adventuresome. But then I'm hanging, I don't know, 20 feet in the air with no gloves and no way up or down, because I didn't have the strength to pull myself back up onto the pine tree.
Oh no.
And so I'm just hanging there dangling, and my muscles and my biceps and my arms are quickly running out of energy and running out of strength. And so the only thing that I knew to do was just to try to shimmy down the rope back down into the creek below in this little gully area. But once the momentum started, I couldn't stop. And so I'm trying to grip on and hold myself so I don't fall and break a leg or a neck or something like that. But the whole time it's just searing my hands.
Man.
And so I land with a thud on the bottom of this gully after.
How high were you?
You know, again, it's a kid thing. So things look more extreme. I'm sure if I go back and look, it's probably like an 11 feet fall.
But yeah, let's not kid ourselves. That's a long way.
Yeah, but I think in all honesty, it was probably 15 or 20 feet. But I was trying to hold myself up by this rope. And so the whole time I'm just searing my palms by trying to keep myself up. Again, I didn't think it through much. I just thought it would be cool, like Sylvester Stallone in Rambo or a Cliffhanger or something like that. But immediately I landed and my hands were on fire. And so I just threw my hands into this creek trying to cool them down, and they blistered. And for weeks, I could barely grab anything. And so that was probably the dumbest thing that I did.
How old were you when you did that?
I was probably 10, 11, something like that. It was definitely old enough to where I could play on my own a lot, but not old enough to realize how stupid I was trying to cross that pine tree.
Is there a life application from what you learned that day? There's got to be something.
There has to be, at least to think through things before you do them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I think that is the immediate takeaway, because I so quickly thought this would be so much fun. And I thought
it sounded fun when the way you told the story. Yeah, I was Hey, I would do that. But then I realized, no, I wouldn't. That's terrible.
It was terrible. And if I saw my son doing something like that, man, I would let him have it, because I could have really seriously gotten hurt. Because again, in all honesty, I think that I was probably somewhere between 15 and 30 feet in the air when I attempted this rappel. But I thought that I would be as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger once I was dangling there, that I could kind of have my way with the rope and going up and down it. But no, I lost all strength in my body immediately. And I just burned the...
When you fell, did it hurt?
You know what? I don't even remember the fall, because my hands were...
Your hands were hurt
so bad. They were burned really badly. And so, again, to this day, I can't even remember how necessarily I showed my parents, or I don't think I got in trouble for it, because I don't think I was ever honest with what actually happened, but that was pretty dumb. How about you?
Okay, well, hold on. Let's not get away from that for a second. What did you tell your parents?
I don't remember. I have no recollection of that. I think I blanked it all out because of the trauma of the experience, because it was one of those things where, again, I knew immediately once I rolled over on that log and was dangling in midair, I was like, oh, this is really dumb. Yeah. It was,
man, and dangerous.
Really dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I had a story that could match that. That's a lot better than what I had.
What were you going to say, Ed?
Well, okay. So when I was in sixth grade, I went to the mall with my family. And I remember going very innocently. I want to make sure I put that in there. Very innocently went to the bookstore, right? And I think it was a Walden Books. I don't even know if that's still around anymore.
I think I remember what bookstore you're talking about.
Yeah, it was at a Montgomery Mall was the name of the mall. And yeah, I remember going in, and at that particular time in my life, I could not have been more hardcore into wrestling.
Oh.
I mean, super hardcore into wrestling.
And this was the glory days, too. Hulkamania, Macho Man.
This was back then. This was Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake, Andre the Giant, you know, those kinds of guys. So, that said, I was going to go read a wrestling magazine, because my parents were cheap, or my family was cheap, and I couldn't get a subscription to these things. So I wanted to go and read about, you know, wrestling or whatever, flip through the magazine. So I go to pick up one of the wrestling magazines, and I notice behind the wrestling magazine is a magazine of ill repute.
Sure.
And as a kid, as a, you know, sixth grade elementary school kid, I'm like freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm like, jackpot. Yeah,
like, I love the honesty.
Like, and then I'm like super nervous. Like, my palms are sweaty. I'm like, did somebody see me, you know, see that?
Right, right. Oh, and pause on the story quickly.
Yeah.
Just for context sake, this wrestling magazine was placed perfectly.
It was, placed perfectly in front of, someone had grabbed a magazine from the top shelf that I'm not supposed to get to.
That's what I'm,
and had moved it to another place on the magazine
shelf. So you found someone else's treasure trove,
Someone had conveniently moved it.
Yeah.
And I was innocent. I didn't have anything to do with this, but it was there. And as any sixth grade boy, maybe that's not true, but as I was like, it's right there. I gotta see it.
Right, sure.
Because that was, I mean, this was back before internet and all that. Like, you know, it wasn't very common for you to be able to get access to that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
at least for me, it was. So I was determined.
Sure.
I knew, you know, I gotta see this. So my first thought was, okay, I can tuck this magazine into the wrestling magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can, you know, pretend, you know, that I'm reading a wrestling magazine, but I'm, you know, looking at things I probably shouldn't be looking at.
See, this is already getting better than my story.
So I did. I proceeded to tuck the magazine into the wrestling magazine. And I'm like, yes, this is it. I'm going to, you know, take a look at this thing.
Yeah.
And people kept walking by. Chris,
how dare they?
I can't look at this when people are right near. What if they see me seeing this?
You know, like, yeah,
they're going to say something. So the next bright idea I had was, okay, I'm going to take this magazine within the wrestling magazine, and I'm going to walk toward the back of the store because there's less people back there, and I can probably go down one of those aisleways that's no one's there, and I can do my thing. I can check it out.
Aisles where they're, you know, selling mathematics books and
some book
psychology that, or something that nobody...
Yeah. That's the solution, right?
Yeah.
So I go and take this back there, and I'm thinking, I got it. And, you know, I get back there, and then there's still people kind of walking by, and I'm nervous, too. I mean, I want to make sure it's clear. Like, I'm paranoid at this point.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure there wasn't that many people, and I'm sure I could have just taken a look and been done with it, and that would have been fine, and no one would have seen, and no one would have said anything. But I was paranoid.
Right.
And I kept thinking, I heard something, or someone's coming, or, you know. And so out of this paranoia, I suddenly had this moment, you know, this aha moment. The light bulb went on, and it was wintertime, so I was wearing a sweater.
Oh, no.
And I just thought,
oh, no,
I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I tucked this. I didn't even think twice. I don't know what I was thinking. I take this magazine, stuff it under my sweatshirt or sweater, and walked right out the store, right clear out of the store.
Wow. With purpose.
With purpose. And the, yeah, no one said a word, no, you know, no alarms. I then proceeded to go into a department store that was right next to it. I don't remember what it was. And I went into the men's dressing room and I kind of tucked it better. So, you know, it wasn't obvious.
Sure, sure.
And then I knew, okay, now the next step is I need to get to the car, the family car.
Ooh.
And back then, I can't understand what we were thinking, but we just didn't lock our car doors back then.
Oh, yeah. Neither did ours.
And so I knew the car was unlocked.
Sure.
So I go to the car. I go to the back seat. Yeah. So you're thinking the back seat of a vehicle.
Sure.
That back right seat. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I take this magazine. I put it underneath the floor mat.
Not right. A bad hiding place
yeah,
if you're
yeah,
going to try
that's
to
the first
get,
place
yeah, sure.
I thought of it. Like, it's got to be under the floor mat.
Absolutely, sure.
So I put it under the floor mat, go back in the mall, find my family. Oh, you know, just checking out stuff. Huh? What are you doing? You know, and then it's time to leave. So I'm the first one to the car conveniently.
Could not blame you.
And I sit in that strategic seat with my feet on top of the floor mat. We get in the car. We drive home. I'm thinking, dude, I'll just let everybody go inside. I'll come inside. And then when the coast is clear, come back out, grab this thing.
This plan sounds flawless to this point.
I don't know what I was thinking, Chris. I really thought, I got this.
Yeah, sure.
Long story short, we get home. Everybody gets out. I get out as well. I, you know, coast seems clear. Go out to the car, tuck it in the sweater, and head up to my room. I'm like, I can't believe I just got away with this. Home free. So I tuck it away, and then it's later that I pull this bad boy out. It's time. I'm going to check this thing out.
Yeah, sure.
I'm in the safety of my room. The door's closed.
Yeah. You've gotten away with it now.
I got this. And so as I'm putting it neatly on the bed to take a look, and this is exactly what it was. It was just taking a look. It wasn't anything beyond that.
Sure,
so
sure,
get your minds
sure.
out of the gutter.
No, yeah, just curiosity.
Was,
yeah, at that.
It was, you know, pretty innocent for the most part, right. Considering I just did, you know, robbery.
Theft, and, yeah.
Which I don't recommend. And I lay it out, and as soon as I'm about to open this thing up, or as I'm opening it up, my sister walks in my room.
Mm.
I don't know if I forgot to lock the door, or if the door didn't work. You know, the lock
what are you doing
didn't
in
work.
Here, Heather?
Yeah, my sister's name is Heather. She sees me looking at this, and she's like, oh, I'm telling Mom!
Oh, man.
And I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, no. And sure enough, my sister, being as cool as she is, the way to get my back, you know, she goes and tells my mom. And wow. My mom's like, you know, giving me all kinds of questions. What is this? Where did you get this? Blah, blah, blah. So I thought of this genius lie. Well, I found it on the bike trails near our house. That was my answer.
Yeah,
the
sure.
bike trails. And she's like, no, you did it. It's too new.
Is this still your sister at this point, or
no,
is this your
mom?
Oh, wow. She was in a...
And, you know, she's just giving me, you know, hell with this, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I got to just tell the truth. We can throw this thing away, get it out, you know, just, I want out of this.
Right, right, right.
So I finally tell her the truth. I'm like, okay, we're in the mall, stole it from the store, wow. You know. And then my mom goes on to like, well, it takes a big person to admit that they're wrong.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, whoo, we're about to get out. You know, we're going to resolve this now and move on. And she's like, I think the right thing to do is take it back.
Oh.
I was like, Chris,
oh my gosh.
You can't imagine how mortified I was. I was like, what do you mean take it back? We got to take it back. You got to tell them that you took it. I was like, no way this is about to happen. She marched me out to the car with this thing in my hand in front of God and everyone in our neighborhood. Mm. Get in the car. I mean, I'm praying we'll get a flat or the car will break down or something. We drive back to the mall. And again, I got to, with this thing in my hand, being a young sixth grader, having to walk through the mall. She parked on the other side to make sure it was awkward. I'm walking through the mall with this thing in my hand so everybody can see me.
Oh,
we go to the store. I go to the counter, and then I have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, son. You know,
you did what? Yeah,
exactly.
Could you speak louder on this intercom microphone?
Exactly. I took this from your store, and you know, the guy sits me down in the back and talks to me about the dangers of stealing, and even though I did the right thing, that this was, you know, it could have been a felony, or I don't know. He basically was scaring me, and eventually, you know, they let me go. And it was awful, but I learned my lesson that day, Chris. Like, I really learned that I don't ever want to steal a pencil in high school. I don't want to steal anything. I love to pretend that I never looked at stuff I shouldn't be looking at, but I definitely wasn't stealing it. That was for sure. That, I say, is the most foolish thing I did as a kid, is I stole a dirty magazine.
Wow.
And then I lied about it, and then I had to take it back. And it was so embarrassing that I don't think I ever stole anything again after that.
Well, there's part of me that kind of feels like at this point you have used Starve the Doubts in the hundreds of episodes that you've produced so far to get to the point to be comfortable on the mic enough to admit this to your audience today. So I applaud you for your honesty. That could not have been easy that day in the Montgomery Mall or
it,
even
it
now on the microphone.
It was not easy, and I don't recommend it. And while a part of me thinks, man, it'd be cool to just jump off a pine tree and hang onto a rope.
It was not cool. It literally burned.
Like, yeah. I'm glad that I didn't have that kind of painful experience, but it was painful in another way. I mean, sure. It was one of the most embarrassing things in my life. I don't know that it was the most embarrassing, but it was one of the most embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So talking about that a little bit, as a parent now myself, sometimes I have to be the bad or the mean dad to my kids. I like being a buddy. So sometimes being the dad that has to lay down the law is really difficult for me. And so I have varying degrees of success when it comes to actually giving my children consequences because I want to be a good guy. But I know at the end of the day, they need that structure. They right. need that moment to really take a moment and learn from it. I can remember when I was in third grade, Billy Ackerman was being really mean to me one day at school. He was making fun of me. And I did not like Billy Ackerman for treating me this way. And I remember I was riding my bike after school, just seething. Just why would Billy do this to me?
Yeah, Billy's a jerk.
Billy's a jerk. I wish I could punch him right in the face. I don't want to do that. And I can remember standing at the top of my driveway while my dad was washing our family car. And I said, Dad, I hate Billy Ackerman. He's mean. He's a jerk. And I hate him. I can remember saying the word hate. And I don't remember what my dad said to me, but I remember I got back on my bike and I kind of spun out there in the gravel and I drove down the street and turned a corner. And before I knew it, I had lost control of my front wheel I fell off my bike. And when I did fall off my bike, my knee hit the cement or the concrete and a rock from the loose kind of gravel of the pavement went into my knee.
Oh, man.
And so I had this huge scar and it was a gruesome scene. But there is not one time in my life since then that I look down at this scar that is still prominently placed on my knee that I don't think about how rude and mean I was about talking about Billy Ackerman that day. And so there is a lot of times where I think to myself when I see it, I'm like, you know what? You need to be polite. Even if people aren't polite to you, you need to be polite back. And so this little scar that happened when I was in third grade, that was, man, it was sore for weeks. I can't look at it now without thinking of how rude I was behind Billy Ackerman's back.
I think that's actually a really good metaphor for, you know, life in general of, you know, trying to accomplish something and then having an undesired outcome.
Sure.
But that undesired outcome could be a flag, it could be a scar, it could be something that a milestone, if you will, where you look back and you say, hey, I learned something from this and I don't want to go there again.
Right.
You know, this is a guardrail now for me moving forward.
Well said.
Right.
A guardrail. I love that.
Yeah. And so I've had those too, where mistakes were made and then it was painful. But in the process of dealing with that, the lesson was so valuable that I didn't make that mistake again. Mm. You know, or yeah. I didn't make that specific problem. I worked through that. And there's always going to be new things that pop up. But if you can learn, sometimes making progress is as much making steps as it is, you know, not making the wrong steps.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I heard somebody say recently that there's no such things as wins and losses. They're just wins and lessons.
Right.
And I really took that to heart because it's true. I mean, we rarely learn through the wins, but we always learn if our eyes are open in the losses, because we can take those as lessons to build on to become a better person on the other end of it.
So we're going to wrap up here in a little bit. Let's talk about, because we're talking about foolishness. The question, of course, was what is the most foolish thing you did as a kid? Let's just talk about married life for a minute. What's a lesson learned in your marriage where you just did something boneheaded and now you're like, oh, I won't do that again?
Oh man, let me count the ways that's happened.
I think that's my initial response as well.
Sure, sure.
Like just one.
Yeah. The reason I'm stalling here and laughing and giggling nervously and talking right now is because I'm trying to think of one and not all of those various examples. You know what? I think that a big thing that I learned early on was when I would fight with my brother growing up, I could say whatever I wanted to say because he was younger than me and he had it coming and he needed to be put in his place. And I felt it was my job as a big brother to really put him where he needed to be. But marriage is not like a sibling relationship. If we're equals and we want to have a level playing field, when you start name calling or trying to put them in their place, that goes sour quickly. And I found that, you know, with growing up with my brother, that really put him in his place and made him feel like a lesser person. And so therefore it made me feel like a better person being a bad big brother. But in that moment, I felt vindicated for doing that because he annoyed me in some way. But my marriage is not like that. And so I had to learn that there is a difference between arguing with a sibling and then arguing with a spouse, because the name calling or the, you know what, I've got this argument in the bag. She was in the wrong here and I'm going to tell her about it. And then when I did, I realized that I ultimately lost the argument, because how dare I selfishly treat her like that and not love her with grace and acceptance. And so that was a boneheaded thing that I had to learn in my early days, was how to effectively communicate when things go negatively, or when we have the lessons versus the loss or the win. What we were talking about a second ago is that you can't just treat it like a typical sibling relationship. You have to treat it with kid gloves and with love and respect and honesty and forgiveness.
Well said. I think one of the lessons I learned early on in the marriage was I had some animosity toward one of her family members. Mm. And I don't want to get into detail, but I'll say this. I avoided that person. I didn't like that person. And I could come up with every reason in the book on why it was justified. But at the end of the day, it really had an impact on the family. It hurt my wife's feelings. And eventually it boiled over to a point that, you know, it required the two of us, not my wife and I, but me and this family member, to sit down and talk it out. And the good news is we were able to do that, and we were able to be objective, and there was some healing and some forgiveness that occurred. And, you know, I went months, Chris, where I allowed that. And the justification in my head was, I'm not wrong here. Hmm. This is the person. They're the jerk. You know, they're the ones who are in the wrong.
Yeah.
But in being so adamant about that, I was hurting my own wife because I was not allowing myself to be around that person. I get frustrated when their name came up. Just really immature attitude. And, you know, I learned something from that. You know, that was a foolish way to handle it.
Sure.
It wasn't the right thing to do. And so I'd like to think that I'm above that now and I've moved on. I think in a lot of ways I've grown. I'm not perfect, but I definitely learned a valuable lesson in that situation that, you know, that wasn't helping my marriage. It wasn't helping the family. And a big part of it was just my own ego and my own pride.
Ah, gosh. You know, I think that we learn different history lessons at different parts of our lives. And it's probably not new things that come to our attention, but things that have maybe been happening in our lives our entire life, but a new context allows us to see things differently. And I don't think that I ever really got the phrase, you could win the battle, but lose the war, so to speak, until I was married. I think it was one of those things where once I was married, I realized that, again, marriage is not necessarily a battle or a war, but if you have conflict, that trying to win at all costs actually ends up losing in the long run, because there's so much, again, with marriage that is about being a team and not being adversaries. And so I had to learn that lesson several times before it finally stuck.
Well, Chris, you and I can both agree that we want to avoid foolish things,
yep.
but there are times when foolish things will happen, and hopefully the lesson learned is something that makes us wiser
yeah.
and something that makes us more mature and something that helps us to grow in the direction that we need to grow in. And so hopefully that's the takeaway from today is, you know, take those foolish things that have been done and hopefully learn from those and keep moving on and doing what you feel led to do.
One confession, though, before we yep. let the audience go is that I was at a Walden Books at Montgomery Mall years ago, and I accidentally put a magazine behind a wrestling magazine. I meant to put it back, but I forgot about it. And then when I went back to the mall the next time, it was gone.
And I must confess that I randomly chopped down a pine tree over
How
a gulch. And yeah,
I wish hit our home.
I didn't do that. No, lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chris.
There's no such things as wins and losses. They're just wins and lessons.